from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we roll right on into the happy hour. Final couple of segments together here on Gwynn and Chris. Happy Tuesday to you. Chris Ello here. Tony Gwynn Jr., good lively big five there. Tony is, doing his thing now in Seattle. Getting ready for the game, getting his lineups all organized. By the way, have you ever seen Tony's lineup?
I was going to say,
machine?
Takes them very seriously.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, he doesn't write his lineups on paper anymore.
No.
He's graduated to the app on his computer.
On his iPad.
On his iPad, thank you. You're better at the terminology than I am. But he gets his lineups on there. And he color coordinates everything.
He does.
Like the names, the positions, where they are out in the field, where they are in the batting order.
Yeah, are they lefty or are they righty?
Lefty, righty. It's honestly, and we're talking about Tony Gwynn Jr. here, who's not, I wouldn't exactly call him Picasso, but his lineup sheet or car, you know, what did you call it? A lineup on his
iPad,
on his tablet.
Yeah.
It's a thing of beauty.
It is.
He ought to hang them in the Louvre, this guy.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, so he works hard on those lineups. He's getting ready for the game.
It does take a long time to put them together.
It does. Like, honestly, when I broadcast games and I didn't have the app and the things like that, I wrote my lineup down in about 8 seconds, and, we played the game. But things are... new technology, Scraby.
Yeah, I think Mudcat got him into the iPad.
He
thing.
Did. Yeah, Jesse does not use the iPad
no,
yet.
I think I would like the paper.
Jesse still uses the paper. But Jesse, just a peek into Jesse's world in the booth, he has like 3 or 4 other tablets open at one time.
He does.
And, you know, the funny thing is I don't think he really needs them because he knows everything to begin with. But it, just in case there's something he needs to look up, Jesse's ready.
And I, because I'm a prep person, like a prep snob, so I was looking at his prep one day.
Oh, yeah. No,
I hope
he's
it was
ready.
Okay, Jesse, that I was looking over
he's
your
ready.
Shoulder.
He's
but
ready.
But he's got, like, the boxes. And even if it has one little fact about a player that never plays for that team,
yeah, he'll be ready with it. He'll be ready with it. Jesse, they become a really good team together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they'll be doing the game tonight at 6:30. Sam Levitt's EcoWater SoCal pregame show precedes that. One last thing. I mentioned the Louvre. You been to France? You been to the Louvre ever?
Never been to France.
So you haven't been to the Louvre?
No.
The museum?
My parents have.
And obviously, if you go to the Louvre, it's the law. You have to go see the Mona Lisa.
Oh,
you
have I was thinking, to. Is the oh, is
the Mona Lisa hangs in the Louvre? The original
chapels in
that's another building
yes,
entirely.
Yes, yes.
So the Mona Lisa hangs in the Louvre. You've got to see the Mona Lisa. So you walk around the place to make it look like you're not just there to see the Mona Lisa, but you really kind of are. So you finally get to the room where the Mona Lisa is. The first thing you notice about the Mona Lisa, one word, small.
Yeah, I've heard it's tiny.
You think it's going to be this whole big thing. It's really small. And here's the other thing that I thought of. I don't know that everybody else thinks of it. I always want to know what the other artists whose paintings hang in that room did to piss off everybody at the Louvre. Because nobody looks at those paintings.
I think you're in a good spot if you're in there.
Nobody looks at you. The Louvre, the room where the Mona Lisa is a regular viewing room with dozens of paintings. But I don't believe anybody ever looks at the other ones.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Because you're focused on
you should go see the other
Mona Lisa.
Oh, I'm seeing it right here. Okay.
You can't get to the Mona. You can't get to the other paintings because there's so many people crowded in the room to try and see the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, I get that. I see it now. It's like you have a bunch of barriers in front of it. So that you, I mean, is it underwhelming?
Yes.
Was
tremendously
it
worth it? So.
Do you feel good that you went and saw it?
So I could tell this story right now, I guess.
It's worth it.
Worthwhile, but that's about it.
I'm a history guy. I think I would go see it, and I would do the same thing. Like, really? This is what I flew
halfway
around the world for?
Yeah, well, we didn't luckily fly just for that.
Oh, man.
All right. Just a little culture for you there.
Thank you.
Speaking of lineups and Tony writing in his lineups, let's give you the Padre lineup tonight because it's interesting. We gave it to you earlier, but it's worth repeating. Arise is leading off. He's DH tonight. Fernando's in right field. Profar stays in the three spot despite his struggles. He's in left field. Manny's cleaning up at third. Jake is batting fifth at second base. Nothing strange about this. Xander Bogaerts batting sixth. However, this part is going to catch your attention. Bogaerts is playing shortstop tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Merrill is in center. Donovan Solano is batting eighth at first base. And then Kyle Higashioka catching. The odd man out is Mason McCoy. But we talked about it all day before the lineups came out. And now it's kind of come to pass. Bogaerts playing shortstop is a big deal. Why? Because if Ha-Seong Kim was only going to be out for another day or so, there's no way they'd move Bogaerts just for a day. It's pretty clear to me that this is kind of the Padres, the plan moving forward here down the stretch. Bogaerts at short and Solano or tonight Solano, but other nights maybe Peralta in there in with a rise at first base or vice versa. But this is a big deal. Mike Shildt obviously was asked about the shortstop situation today earlier in Seattle. He'll give us a whole bunch of stuff that we can listen to.
Getting the started short. What went into the thought? What were the conversations like? What led to the decision?
Starts with, you know, Kimmy's still not back. So we have a void at shortstop. And, you know, McCoy's doing a nice job. Just creates an opportunity for Bogey. Talked to him a couple different times. Spoke to him more recently on Sunday. And said he's comfortable going over there. He's comfortable with this field. Haven't played in the American League. Felt good about it. Also creates an opportunity for Solano to get in the lineup. So a lot of variables, and that's where the lineup is today.
You emphasized today. Is there a thought to what this might look like moving forward, or does this appear to be a day-to-day decision with Bogaerts at short?
Yeah, I mean, every lineup's independent of another lineup, so we'll just continue to look at it, and we'll let you know what he's doing the lineup tomorrow.
How about with Kim? How far along is he, and where is he in the progression?
Pretty sure I mentioned last time we had a day off, so he had a day off as well. So he's in the same spot he was a couple days ago, and that's just, you know, kind of a little bit of holding pattern where he's throwing and try to, you know, get the progression going back again. But he wasn't able to take that next step.
Is there any indications to whether it'll be a day-to-day thing with Kim, or do you anticipate this possibly going as long as a week or more?
I don't know. Like I said, once a guy doesn't take that next step, clearly that's not really a setback, but it's not a step forward. So he's not able to progress, and we're kind of a little bit flatlined, and we'll just have to evaluate it.
With Bogaerts at short, what does this do for the rest of the lineup, allowing certain bats to get in there that may otherwise not have had that chance?
Yeah, I mean, it creates a lot more of an opportunity for Solano. He's had a tremendous year for us, and it lengthens the lineup and gets him in there, and creates opportunity for Solano today.
Any restrictions on Darvish today, or limitations, pitch count?
No, he's ready to dominate.
So he can go beyond 80?
Yeah, he's probably in that 80, 85, 90 range, depending on how hard
just
he's working.
There was no limitation.
There was no limitation.
I love him. Mike, you're my pal, Mike Shildt. First of all, guest performance there by Mike Pomeranz, yes, on most of those questions. Mike Shildt's a classic. And you know what? I'm laughing now because I think I got him read like a book. And I'm pretty sure he knows we've got him read like a book, right? He's saying that he's been doing the same dances all year. And it's okay. This is what managers do. Yeah, this is what, you know, people in all sports do now. They don't want to give out any more information than they have to. So you have to do a little reading between the lines. And you know, when they tell you, when you ask him, is this a day-to-day thing with the lineup? And he says, yes, this independent lineup is tomorrow's lineup. It's just not true. It's just not true. There's no way they would move Bogarts to shortstop just for today, you know, on a whim, if Kim was coming back tomorrow. They know darn well he's not coming back for a while. They don't want to quite tell us. I get it, but... You know, look, just be smart out there. Bogarts is going to shortstop for the foreseeable while here. Maybe the rest of the regular season. Maybe the rest of the season. You know, if Kim can come back in the net, he's not done that much more time.
No.
But, you know, they could consider putting him back at short. But I think this is where it's going to finish right now. Bogey at short and Arise at first, or, you know, DHing tonight with Solano at first. The other thing that was interesting, that's why I laughed when he came back, but the question was, is does Darvish have any limitation on any pitches? Nope, going to go dominate. So like around 80, yeah, about 80, 85. Well, you just said that's he had no limit. That's a limit. It's just funny to me. I know it sounds like I'm poking fun at Schilt. I'm not. He's every other manager. He just happens to be our guy.
Yeah, exactly. And we listen to him every single day, so we know what we're expecting. But the thing with Ha-Sung Kim that they keep saying that tells me that he might be out for a long time is that he didn't quite have a setback, but he didn't have a step forward, which tells me that they're not
Mike
happy.
It's Mike Schilt's way of trying to keep hope alive, but true. I just don't think...
And I'm fine with that, but...
I don't feel that the hope is real. Tony said it earlier. If Bogarts goes to shortstop, that's because they know something. And it's fine. Could tell us, or you could lie to us like, you know... Your guy, Kyle Shanahan. Oh, I had to duck that in real quick.
Oh, wow.
Gene, take a look at the time. We got to go to break.
Oh, wow.
You're just not going to have time to rebut that statement.
I have nothing to say other than that he's no different than any NFL coach.
And any Major League Baseball
Although his players are stupid enough to say the plan.
Yes, his running back threw him under the bus,
and unfortunately.
Tebow
apparently said it. They found out Sunday night that...
Yeah, everybody's thrown old Shanny under the bus
old
there.
Old Shanny.
All right, we got a quick daily gambit for you. Do we have time for it all?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, it's next after Check
a Trip. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Traffic. All right, Scraby just gave me the 12-minute warning. Notification is given to each bench, 5:22 is the time. In about 12 minutes, we'll be heading it over to Sammy Levitt and the Padre pregame. And then Tony and Jesse, big ball game tonight. They are big now. Even Tony admitted, right? Didn't we finally get him to admit that like these games are big now?
We did.
After like a whole season of, you know, doesn't matter anymore. It now matters.
See, I know that Tony's right in June I can't be calling for the team to fold because they've lost a few games.
Yeah, but 17 games left. Yeah. You're up by 2.5.
It's time.
Three teams chasing you.
It's time.
Yeah, got to get
it's
it.
Go time.
Got to get it right now. Padres 5-game road trip starts tonight. Quick reminder, when they return home next Monday, the Astros are in.
Ooh.
And coming up a week from tomorrow, September 18th, it's the final giveaway of the season.
Woo-hoo!
Wednesday, September 18th. Here's what it is, presented by Canel's, a Fernando Tatis Jr. Platinum Glove bobblehead.
That's right.
As modeled by Matt Scraby, if you're watching on YouTube.
Yes, it's a very nice bobblehead. He's got the platinum glove. His head is bobbling.
As far as we know, he's looking into the sun, but catching the ball.
Oh, my gosh. He has sunglasses on.
Which he doesn't always wear.
I wonder if he wore sunglasses on that day.
He didn't. That was the whole complaint.
No, no, not the sunball day on Sunday. Oh, I'm talking about when he actually made that big catch last year.
Yeah. Don't know. Last year, of course, Fernando was the first Padre ever to win the Platinum Glove, given to the National League's best overall defender. Next Wednesday, the final giveaway of the year, presented by Canel's, the Fernando Platinum Glove bobblehead. All right, let's finish things up with the Daily Gambit, Scrape. Kind of weird timing, but
yes,
that's what we're doing today.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit's our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. I just checked the Fernando photo, and he is indeed wearing sunglasses on that play. So
on the play in question.
In question, that is the
bobblehead play.
Which is when he went up and over the wall to rob a home run. He was wearing
Not
sunglasses.
Wearing them the other day, though, when he missed the ball.
No.
Looking into the sun. And something pointed out to me was that, because I talked about it yesterday, when the ball's up in the sun, you put your glove up to block the sun. Then you try to look around your glove for the ball. On the one he didn't catch, he did not put his glove up. He put his bare hand up.
He did put his bare hand up.
Big difference.
See that. Yeah, you have less area to cover with your hand.
Hopefully that won't be a factor. It's a night game tonight in Seattle.
I don't know. The sun stays up pretty late there in Seattle.
Could be a factor in the first or two innings.
Could be a factor.
All right,
here we go. CMC bets Nolan Void because he didn't
play. Nolan Void did not play last night.
Aaron Rodgers over under 233.5 passing yards. Chris went under. I went over. Should have.
He was way under, wasn't he?
He was 167. Yeah. He did not look good in the any quarter
said
except
he
for the first.
But he said he didn't look good. I think he was rusty. He's also facing a good team. I'm going to give him a little more time before I'm too critical.
There was a couple throws where I'm like, oh, no. We got the Aaron Rodgers guy.
I thought one of the early ones to Garrett Wilson was kind of a back shoulder. He put it up in the air.
And Garrett Wilson snagged it.
Yeah, I thought, boy, that's Rodgers right there.
Yeah.
But we didn't see much of that last
night.
No,
we didn't. But we'll see probably some of that throughout the season. Niners and Jets, total points over under 43. I said under. Chris said over. It was over 32-19 equals 51 points. And by the way, it was a scoregami last night, meaning last night's score was the first time it's ever happened in an NFL game, 32-19.
Really?
So
that is kind of wild.
In the history
of the sport.
I don't know the last time I've ever seen a 32.
You haven't? Oh, 32.
Yeah.
But 32-19, you obviously had never seen it because it never happened.
It's very strange. Lots of field goals and all that.
No kidding. For those who didn't know, I was playing my fantasy game against my godson. I was up by 11 points.
Yeah.
But he had the 49er kicker, and I think you know how that turned out.
Not well for you.
A victory for my godson, as it goes.
Now, who had more complete passes in the game, Aaron Rodgers or Brock Purdy? I chose Aaron Rodgers. You chose Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy had 19, so he wins that one.
Yeah.
More yards, rushing yards, Breece Hall or CMC? Well, CMC didn't play, so Breece Hall was the one. 54 yards, got him the title. You picked him. I picked CMC.
Yeah, but that was kind of a null and void bet.
Debo
didn't really have a chance to win that. The guy wasn't even in the game.
Debo and then Brandon Ayuk. Who had more receiving yards? Both of us chose Debo. Both of us were correct. 54 yards. Ayuk had 28.
Ayuk?
And I gotta say, if he would have practiced, there would have been a few more catches for him last night.
Dropped the touchdown.
He dropped the touchdown.
Yeah.
He dropped the first pass that was thrown to him. I'm sorry, you cannot make a big deal in the offseason if you're going to drop touchdowns.
No, I'm just going to remind you of midseason that your team gave him $30 million.
Oh, I think he's going to be fine.
Okay.
Not good timing. Paul Skeens last night, over under 6.5 strikeouts. Both of us went over, and he had 9. Dodgers over under 10 runs against the Cubs. Both of us went over, and the Cubs scored 10 on their own. It was 10-4 Cubs.
Right.
Final bet was which team scores more runs, the Braves or the Mets? I chose the Mets. Chris chose the Braves. The Mets had 3. Braves had 0.
All right, so I went 5-1 last night.
That's
good night.
Good.
You were 4-2. Both of us were solid.
Not bad.
Got a couple of them tonight. There's an interesting matchup at Dodger Stadium tonight, if you're aware.
Oh, yes.
Cubs and Dodgers, but that's not what's interesting. It is Imanaga against Yamamoto.
Yep.
They're going head-to-head. Yamamoto returning from being on the injured list forever. Right? He hasn't pitched in, I don't remember how long.
Since June.
Imanaga's having a great year. Dodgers are favored, though, by 1.5 runs. Cubs beat them last night. I'm going to go with Imanaga over the rusty Yamamoto. I'll go Cubs.
I'm going to go Imanaga, too, because I don't know that I've disliked the pitcher more than Yamamoto.
You don't like him.
You
don't like anybody who gets all that money, but the hype seemed a little deserved only because he was 3 times in a row MVP of the whole league over there.
I get it.
Like, that was pretty impressive to me.
Yeah.
But he hasn't really been able to show
anyway,
much this
year. I agree
with
Imanaga.
And more strikeouts tonight. Yu Darvish of the Padres, George Kirby of the Mariners. They both have the same odds. Who are you going with here?
You know, George Kirby is my fantasy
pitcher. Yeah, but you already won that
But here's what I'm going to tell you about George Kirby.
Okay.
He's had some really bad games as of late.
All right.
He's had some low strikeout games, high earned run games.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Yu Darvish.
I hope you're right. I'm going to take Kirby just for the reason that I still think Darvish is on a pitch count.
Well, he is.
Regardless of what Mike Schilt tells me. I don't think Darvish goes much more than 4 or 5 innings tonight. New York Liberty in the WNBA, 10-point favorite at Dallas. Liberty been the runaway. I hate giving 10 on the road, but I'm going to do it. I'll take the Liberty. Minus 10. You want the Wings?
I'm going to take the Wings.
Good for you.
Yeah.
They got my favorite player in the league on their team.
I can't remember her name right now.
Yeah, I can't either.
Oh, it's not a Goomba Wale.
Yeah, Goomba Wale. Yeah.
Is that her name?
Yes. Okay. I love a Goomba Wale.
Yeah,
she can score, man.
Yes.
All-Star Game MVP. Put like 30 points up in 1/2. I love a Goomba Wale. I just can't remember her name.
Yeah.
All right, one more. Minnesota at Atlanta tonight, WNBA. Nafisha Collier of Minnesota, 20.5 points. Can't tell you a lot about her.
Yeah, me neither.
She's a high scorer, I assume.
Under.
You're going under?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I'll go over. I wouldn't have mentioned it. I think Nafisha's going to be really hard to contain tonight.
I've actually tried to pay attention to the WNBA a little bit this year, but there are still a lot of players I have no idea.
Well, they lost a little of the momentum with the Olympics, but...
True.
You know, Caitlin Clark... this has become the big controversy, and thankfully we discussed this yesterday. The controversy was halted because of Angel Reese's injury. But if it wasn't for her season-ending injury, this vote for Rookie of the Year would have been like, you know, the third coming or something. I don't know what it was. Everybody had a not just an opinion on it, but an emotional opinion on it. It's got to be Caitlin. It's got to be Angel. You don't know what you're doing if you're picking against Angel. You're not looking at it fairly, but ever. Here's the thing, and I'll just say this, and then it doesn't matter anymore because Caitlin Clark's going to win the Rookie of the Year because Angel got hurt. But Caitlin Clark's team is already in the playoffs. Angel Reese's team was not yet in the playoffs. They're trying to get there. And finally, Caitlin Clark has been beyond Asia Wilson of Las Vegas. Caitlin Clark, for the second half of the season, has probably been the best player in the league. I mean, Indiana, for those who don't follow the WNBA, and I don't follow it closely, Indiana was the worst team in the league for 5 years in a row.
Yeah, by far the worst team.
And she has single-handed, there's other players, I get it, but she has come in there and helped turn that team into a competitive winning team.
There's a correlation between her showing
Seems
up
like
and them
it.
Winning.
Seems like it. So I don't get why people, there are some, but they don't like Caitlin Clark. And most of the ones who don't like Caitlin Clark love Angel Reese. Here's the thing. There's room to like both of them and you should like both of them. And if you're the WNBA, you should love both of them because together they have helped grow your sport. And that is, you can't ask for any more.
No. They've done more. Both those players have done more for the WNBA this year than I think I can ever remember.
You know, but how many controversies has Caitlin Clark been involved in through no fault of her own? Did you read? I read this the other day. She has been, what do you call it? What's a hard foul?
Flagrant.
Flagrant. She has been flagrant fouled 17 times this year.
That's
why?
That's a lot.
Enough.
Who's the second most?
I don't know if anybody's got 17.
That's a lot.
That's a ton, isn't it?
I mean, why are they hate? They hate her so much. I don't understand it.
I don't get it. All right, it's weird. We're done. We're back tomorrow at 2:00 with Tony and me, hopefully wrapping up a Padre victory. Sammy comes in next with the Padre pregame show. For Matt Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Evening.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.